All right. We're talking about tonight, I'm going to title this little message, You Have an Appointment. A few years back, I broke both my elbows at the same time. It was a wonderful experience. And in the process, they said, we're going to operate on both your elbows the same day. And so, yeah, there you go. We're gonna deal with this. So in the process of doing that, when they were all done, this is as far as I could bend my elbow. Like, you know, we can do this, right? Well, I could do that. And so I had to go to physical therapy. And so in physical therapy, it was like 2-3 times a week sometimes. And so you set up the appointments. And I would get a text message the day before or a phone call reminding me, hey, you got an appointment tomorrow, 10:30, be there, all right? Nobody came knocking on my door to remind me I got an appointment. Hey, don't forget, come on. Okay, it's time for you to come. They didn't come pick me up. It was my job to make sure that at 10:30, I was there to get them to, like, reef on my elbow for an hour, okay? So anyways, That was the deal. And God has appointments for us, okay? God has a calendar. And in that calendar, there are all these things that happen that he put in place for us to pay attention to. And I know that none of us would purposely say, oh, I got an appointment with God. God set up this particular time for me to seek him, but you know what? There's a ball game. There's this really great movie coming out this week. I got to go see that. I'll check you later. All right. Nobody would do that, right? Don't raise your hand if you would. I'm not asking for that. This is an encouragement to not do that. All right. But we in the Western church, haven't paid attention to God's appointments, to God's calendar of events, as we probably should have. I grew up in church all my life. I had a great family. We were in church. I got saved when I was a little guy, and my parents loved God, and we lived in a great Christian family. I had it good, but you know what? And we were a part of a good charismatic church, and I got to be honest with you, though. I can't remember a lot of sermons that talked about the feasts of the Lord, the calendar of God, why we should pay attention to those things. I don't remember a lot of talk about that. I mean, they touched them occasionally, but it was never made as a relevant thing that we should be paying attention to on a consistent basis. And same thing in Bible college. I mean, they taught us about the tabernacles and the tabernacle, the feasts of tabernacles and the feasts of all these things. They taught us about that when we were going through the studying of the Bible and everything. But there was not a lot of relevance made to why I should pay attention to it today. Does that make sense? And so, but in the kindness of God and in his mercy, and I think to get our attention, God's been pointing us and kind of prodding us to, like, as we begun to celebrate the new moon celebrations, he's been pointing us in the direction of, hey, I want you to pay attention. It's important. Yeah, you haven't studied it, but it is actually something that you need to pay attention to, the calendar of God. And so, there's a book, if you haven't read it, I want to encourage you to read it. It's called A Time to Advance by Chuck Pierce. It's an excellent book. It's not a hard read, all right? It's not big, gigantic words and stuff you can't understand, and you're a chapter into it, and like, you know, your head's starting to spin. I got books like that on my shelf that I've got that are still there, and I've decided not to do that again, all right? But this is not that kind of book. And honestly, you can read parts of it, and some of it you can just kind of wait for, like the months as the calendar of God and all that kind of stuff. I just kind of have set those aside, and when it's time for me to invest some time and effort into like studying that out, it's this time of the month. Let's talk. Let's look at this. What's this all about? And I so appreciate Pastor Dave willing to hear from God, hear from the Lord, and get us thinking about the calendar of God, because God has a plan and a purpose in everything he does. All right. And in Leviticus, it says, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. These are the Lord's appointed festivals, which you are to proclaim as official days for holy assembly. You have 6 days a week for your ordinary work. On the seventh day, it's a Sabbath day. It's a day of complete rest. It's an official day for holy assembly. It is the Lord's, and it must be observed wherever you live. In addition to the Sabbath, these are the Lord's appointed festivals, the official days for holy assembly that are to be celebrated at their proper times each year. And then the rest of that chapter goes on to outline the feast and all the stuff that goes on with the feast and what's supposed to be done and what you eat and all, what should happen and why it should happen, all that kind of stuff. All right? But listen, God has times and seasons for everything, and his calendar is a big deal. And I think, and that's why we've been trying to pay attention to it and trying to look at it and see what's happening. And I so appreciate every month we get a little sheet that says, hey, this is what happened last month, and this is where we're headed, all right? So he instructed the Israelites to pay attention to his calendar, keeping Sabbaths, new moon celebrations, and appointed feasts. The commemoration of these holy days helps to transmit God's truths to both young and old, no matter how much you have or how much you have not studied them out. All right? Even it doesn't matter how much you've like invested into studying these things. I can't remember all the stuff that I studied in Bible college. It took me 4 years to get a 2-year associate's degree. Okay, so I'm not lying. I wasn't the best student, but God put things in motion and he set things up to at least draw our attention to it. And that's what this is all about. These divine celebrations, these divine holy days, these appointed times are set up to remind us and show us the great truths of God's salvation, his love and his plans for us, all right? So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about these holy days. They deserve our attention. And we haven't, I'm going to say for me, I haven't been paying attention to them like we should be. And I think the church as a whole has not been paying attention like we should do. All of those things within those holy days, all the things that happen within those appointed feasts, those appointed festivals, all point to something that God wants us to get a handle on and get a hold of. It all points to him. He reveals himself in those celebrations. In Colossians, it says, don't let anyone judge you with respect to food and drink in the matter of the feast, the new moon, or the Sabbath days. So Colossians is found where? In the New Testament. Okay, so all you people who said those are Old Testament things, the Bible just messed you up on that deal, okay? It's right there in the New Testament, it talks specifically about the feasts, the new moons, and the Sabbath days. But the point of this verse is the next one. They are only a shadow of the things to come. But the reality is in Christ. The reality is in Christ. Okay, these holy days are meant to remind us, point us to Christ. So we can see within them, we see Christ in all of those situations. And the placement of these festivals throughout the prophetic year holds their own prophetic significance. The early festivals, the spring festivals, they help us to remember. They remind us of the death and the resurrection of Christ. And the fall festivals, they remind us of the establishment of the kingdom of God. The substance of those fall festivals are the establishment and the fulfillment of the kingdom of God. These appointed times are meant to draw our attention back to God and his faithfulness. So for a while now, we've been doing this. We've been giving attention to the new moon celebrations, and because he has a plan and a purpose in everything he does. Now, God bases his calendar on how the earth rotates around the sun and how the moon rotates around the earth. He uses the cycles of the moon as a signal of his kingdom timing in the earth. Okay? He uses the cycles of the moon as a signal of his kingdom timing in the earth. Psalms 19 says, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God, and the skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. And they speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth, and their words to all the world." And Jesus referenced, when he was sharing with the disciples were saying, when are we going to know that you're coming back? And in Luke 21, one of the things that he refers to is there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. And so that's why Pastor Dave a couple years ago was talking about the blood moons. Those things are to get our attention. It's not just a coincidence that there's three of them in the same year. Makes you go, huh, why is that? That's what God's telling you to do. Ask him, why is that? And we need to pay attention to those things. Last year, the biggest supermoon since 1948 in November of last year happened over Israel. The biggest moon they've seen since 1948. It was the closest to the earth it's ever been. Since 1948. God's speaking. There's lunar and solar eclipses. We had one recently. And how many went out and burnt your eyes? Oh, wait. Anybody like go somewhere where they can see the whole thing? Anybody? Yeah, okay. Somebody. Yeah, awesome. Well, the solar eclipse went over seven cities named Salem, which is short for Jerusalem. Do y'all know that one? Hey, wow. And in 7 years, there's going to be another solar 100% total eclipse over the United States that's going to go from the other direction, creating this big X over the United States. That ought to get your attention. It's got my attention. God is saying something. Is that X the mark of where the nuclear bomb is going to happen? This is the fun stuff you read on the internet if you go out there looking. Listen, I don't know what God's doing, but God is saying something. Through the heavens, he's speaking to us, and it's up to us to listen and look for him and pay attention because he's trying to tell us something, all right? It's just the idea that the heavens are speaking to us, and yet they're not, you can't hear them. And it's just a crazy thing. How about this one? September 23rd. 1 week from tonight. Y'all see this one yet? 7,000 years. I don't understand this. So just, okay, I don't understand this because I'm just not into this. But on September 23rd, all these stars and planets line up in such a way that you can, if you want to, interpret that to be part of the prophetic word in Revelation 12, where it talks about the woman that's clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. It gives birth to a boy who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. while she's threatened by a red dragon. That's all. John the Beloved wrote that a couple thousand years ago. And there it is. And if you want to know more about that, you can Google it or YouTube it. What you got to be aware of is that there's the guys out there that are on, that were on Fox News today that said the rapture, it's the end of the world. Next week, end of the world, big comet's going to hit the planet. It's all over. All right. I'm not on that page. I don't think that's going to happen. All right. I'll tell you this, though. God's saying something. And we need to understand, and I appreciate, because a couple of videos that I watched, the guys were honest, and they weren't like trying to say, this is what's happening. They were saying, I don't know what's happening, but there is something happening. And that's what God is trying to get out. He says, God is saying, hey, look, this was said 2,000 years ago. This is going to happen. Y'all need to pay attention. And we may never physically see what is happening, but in the spirit realm, something is taking place, and we need to be prepared, and we need to be considering and praying and praying into it and listening to God, because he may have something for us to do and say, right? And that's what's happening in all of this. That's what's happening when we celebrate once a month, a brand new month, a brand new moon. And we got to weigh the stuff out and let the Holy Spirit speak into our lives and listen to what he's got to say about it. Because whatever I got to say ain't worth listening to. But God's voice of the Spirit is probably going to speak to us about this. Because that's a pretty significant event. But listen, our religious mindsets have made it hard for us, at least it's been hard for me, to look at this and say, okay, so I guess I can get that out of there. I don't know. 12 stars, but they're not all stars because there's 3 of them that are planets. Does that count? I think so. I'm going to go with yes on that because it works for me. All right? And I believe we are in the end times. And God is speaking to us. It's time for us to wake up and pay attention. And we've been talking about the new moon celebration. We're talking about God's calendar. And all of those things, he's been asking us to wake up and pay attention to what's happening. There are specific things that he wants us to be paying attention to, and he uses the heavens to speak to us. So let's talk about where we are in God's calendar. September 20th is a new month. You all should have got one of these, okay, in your bulletin. Keep it handy. You just might want to pay attention to that. I keep it right on my desk. It's just right there so that I can pray into it. Every once in a while, I'll just get this prompting. Hey, what about this? And I'll look at it and I'll pray into it. And, you know, it's just part of that deal. And so the month we're coming into is the month of Tishri. It's the first month of the Jewish calendar, but the 7th month of God's calendar. Now, the Jewish calendar, just to help you understand that a little bit, because I didn't. The Jewish calendar began their calendar at creation. But God's calendar for Israel begins at the Exodus. And so that's how that is kind of separated out, right? So that's the dual reference. It's the first month of the year. They have their first day of the year coming up this week. And then, but it's the 7th month in God's calendar, okay? So that actually really gives it a lot more importance. And there's really a lot of things happening in this upcoming month that we really need to pay attention to. It's an important month. Tishri is the month of the fall feasts. It is associated with returning to God. It's called It's a month associated with returning to God. I'm getting way ahead of myself. I'm jumping like about 15 slides ahead. I should not do that. All right. It's linked with awakening and removing that which keeps us from returning. It opens up, this month opens up with the Feast of Trumpets. All right. And those were meant to call our attention to the fact that it's a time to seek God. All right. So let's look at the fall feast. We're going to take a few minutes. I asked Drew to come share for a few minutes about the fall feast. So let's hear it for Drew.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. Yeah, I guess they figured since I have a Jewish background, I know these things. I should have brought a yarmulke and made this a holy situation. The fall feast, actually very important time of the year. You know, in America, we celebrate football season, right? It's football season. Everybody's happy about that. Unless you're a 49er fan, then, you know, it's onward and upward from here. But the fall feast, really, for Jews and actually for God's calendar, you know, the world, once the fall of man took place, we gave everything back to the usurper. We gave everything back to Lucifer. We gave him a lot of power in the earth. And unfortunately, he took that opportunity to even screw up the calendar. He did just the opposite. God says we observe the moon. We start the days at sunset. And they came up with the Gregorian calendar. Lucifer got involved, of course. And so now we do it all with the sun. And it really tried to screw up the calendar that all of us should be living by. Now, I know that's hard for us because we were raised, like Dwayne said, in good Christian homes. I wasn't raised in a good Christian home, but because my family was Jewish in background, we just lived by this simple philosophy. Don't kill anybody, and you're probably going to get to heaven. Like, that was pretty much the philosophy of my family. And, you know, all we had to do when the Mormons came to the door, Jehovah's Witnesses, anyone came to the door, we said, oh, great, we're Jewish. And they'd go, hey, have a great life, you know, and take off. So, but I remember hearing conversations about these things. I remember growing up just knowing that there's something about God and these festivals and these feasts. And so when I became a young Christian, I started to study these things. I didn't go to Bible school. I went to door knock evangelism school. I went to argument school. I went to, you know, street preaching school. I went to all those places, which I'll tell you, don't do that. Go to love people. And part of the loving thing that God is doing, I believe, through Dave was showing him that in these end times, pay attention to God's calendar. Don't worry. The world's calendar is going to be the world's. You pay attention to God's calendar because God has set these things for all eternity. The great thing about us in the church is we got grafted in. He said, okay, the Jews don't want to follow me. Israel's going to rebel against me. I'll divorce them. I'll just divorce them and I'll bring in people to make them jealous. You and I are supposed to make Jews jealous. We're supposed to make Israel jealous by how close we are to God, how much we revere God, how blessed we are by God. And it should make them jealous for them to go, wait a minute, he was our God first. All right. These are the fall feasts, a brief overview. My problem is I can preach, and so I want to preach, but I'm going to teach right now. First one is the Feast of Trumpets. It's coming up. It's Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah is a real sobering time. It's a time for us to acknowledge sin. He already read the scripture, but in Leviticus chapter 23 through 25. No, I think you were at the beginning of Leviticus. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the people of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a day of solemn rest, a memorial proclaimed with the blast of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work, and you shall present a food offering to the Lord. So Rosh Hashanah was also known as Yom HaDin, Day of Judgment. It begins with the 10 days of awe. They call it Yomin Norami. And the 10 days of turning or repentance, the high holy days, which conclude with Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. During this period of time, Jews all over the world would greet each other with Shana Tova, Tikatavu. Shana Tova Tikatavu. It means may your name be inscribed in the book of life. And so God set it up that his people would have 10 days to deal with sin in their lives. I don't think it's a coincidence. There's also 10 commandments. And what's a great thing to do, and what some sects have done through the years, is they would take each day to look at a commandment and say, have I been guilty of breaking this commandment the past year? And they would sit with their families and they would discuss these things. And they would sit alone and meditate on these things. And if they had broken the commandment, they would repent. And then the next day, they would look at another commandment and go, have I broken the second commandment in any way possible? And if they had, they would repent before God. You know, the biblical holiday, the Feast of Trumpets, is described most fully, if you want to study some more, in Numbers chapter 29, verses 1 through 6. Some of the central elements are the number 7 about this feast, 7 months, 7 male lambs were burnt as offerings. You're to abstain from regular work. You're supposed to sound the ram's horn, the shofar, and there's also a male goat to be killed as an atonement for sin. Now, the cool thing about this holiday is its focus, well, not cool, but it is cool because God gives us a chance to look at our sin and repent. And then it's followed by the Day of Atonement or Yom Kippur, right? It's the 10th of Tishri. And then the Sukkot, or the Feast of Booths, is at the 15th of the month, and that focuses on God providing for his people. So it's cool. He comes in, and we all know this theme, and we see it through Jesus. And that's why Jesus, if we looked at these things prophetically, it would take days to go through this stuff. Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that we're talking about. Dave did a sermon, I think it was 2 years ago, on the prophetic timeline of God and described what feasts we are in between. It's amazing. He talked about the church age. If you don't, go back and look at it. But this holiday focuses on sin and repentance, but all this leads up to God saying, we view our sin, we repent, and we receive God's atonement for sin on the Day of Atonement. Then we get to experience God providing for the rest of our lives. You know, I'm a parent to 3 kids. All I ever want my kids to do when something breaks and it's mysteriously broken in my house, I just want one of them to own it. I get mad if they try to hide from it. But I just want one of them to say, I blew it. I apologize. Man, you get so much grace in that moment. I mean, you're not going to get a cake or anything, but you get grace in that moment. I'm going to love you. I'm going to appreciate your honesty. You know, there might be some discipline. I don't know. It depends on what you broke. But if it was something of mom's, you know, hey. Kidding, just kidding. But I think it's the same with God. He just really wants us to view ourselves in light of who we really are. Hey, none of us is without sin. Thank God for Jesus. But own it. Take those 10 days. Go through the 10 commandments. Talk to your kids about these things. They're not all just done away with because Jesus came. Jesus lived by them. Jesus had all these feasts and festivals. He did all these things. And in fact, in a moment, we'll see one of the scriptures where Jesus actually speaks at one of the festivals. All right, so we move on. We have the 10 commandments. You go through those. You have the 10 days of awe. It's a time to repent, time to get right with people. It's a time, you know, if you go through something and you know you're not right with someone in your family, you go and repent. You own it. You're honest. God, forgive me. Then we get to the Day of Atonement. This is the day of repentance. Leviticus 23, 25, and 26 says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, now on the 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be for you a time of holy convocation. You shall afflict yourself and present a food offering to the Lord. And actually, Yom Kippur is considered the most sacred day of the Jewish calendar. It's a day of solemn assembly. It's a day of kneeling and laying prostrate before the Lord. It's a day of really bringing yourself into humility. You know, in the book of Nehemiah, we remember Nehemiah found the book of the law, and the people hadn't heard the book of the law for a long time. And when he began to read the book of the law, and Ezra, in Nehemiah 8:6, blessed the Lord. Listen to this scripture. Nehemiah 8:6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, lifting up their hands. And then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Like, these are people who never heard the book of the law, but once they heard it, they understood how holy God was, how holy God is. Don't you know there's powerful angels flying around the throne of God, and all they do is say, holy, holy, holy. I mean, that's awe-inspiring. We're talking seraphim. We're talking three-winged angels. Powerful. And all they can do is cover up and just go, man, he's so holy. And I know, I want to be like, God, you're my Abba, you're my daddy. We can kick it and watch the game. And I get all that. But we also serve a very holy God. And there are times, and this is his season, where he doesn't want to be kicking it with you at the game. He wants you on your face. Saying, holy, holy, holy. According to the Talmud, all of a man's actions in the past year are judged by God on this single day. During actually the 10 days in Rosh Hashanah, he's in judgment. And on Yom Kippur, he makes a final judgment. That's when the gavel is dropped. That's why it's such a solemn day. That's why the Jews refer to these days as the days of awe. The days of understanding how awesome is your God. Yom Kippur is observed through fasting and prayer. Jews would fast from sunset to sunset, often without water, and then they'd break their fast with their family by having a light meal before bed. For the children, they would feed the children simple foods, but it was a time of very solemn humility, fasting, prayer, a time to say, holy, holy, holy. Finally, we come to the Feast of Tabernacles. It's called Sukkot. And it's a rejoicing of God's great provision for his people. It's a remembrance of how God took care of Israel when they came out of Egypt. In Leviticus 23, verse 34 and 36, this also called the Feast of the Booths and the Feast of Tents. On the 15th day of the 7th month and for 7 days is the Feast of the Booths to the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. For 7 days you shall present food offerings to the Lord. On the 8th day you shall hold a holy convocation and present a food offering to the Lord. This is a solemn assembly. You shall not do any ordinary work. You see, a lot of us think God is all about rules and regulations. When you follow the festivals and things, God's all about giving you some time off. He is. He says every week, take a day, man. Just take one day. Focus on me. Don't get involved in all the stuff everyone else is doing. All the pagans. You just chill out. I got you. And in these feasts, that's what he's saying on the final one. Listen, for all eternity, you've repented. I've atoned for your sin. I got you. Have fun. And people would build these tents, and they'd have the food and the fruit hanging over and the palm branches, and it was pretty much a celebration. You get out of the house. He didn't want you in your house. He's like, go camping. This was like a Jewish camping trip. All right? My wife said it's not true. Jewish camping is called no room service. That's her idea of Jewish camping. We don't camp much. When you celebrate the Sukkot, you built a sukkah, which is the place where you're staying for a week with your family. And there's whole volumes of the Talmud have been written just understanding the construction of this thing. And the sukkot ought to admit starlight, but must be more shaded. So I got to be able to see the stars, but I should be in the shade, covered. It must be more shaded than unshaded. Rain must be allowed to penetrate, but it's important to sleep in the sukkah when it's raining. Huh? Well, that doesn't make any sense. For this is why you got to listen to the rabbis, because only they can make sense of this stuff. For this is to disregard the exemption the Lord has made for his people's comfort. So don't sleep in it in the rain, but keep it covered. Let the rain penetrate, but not too much. Covered, but look at the stars. A sukkah cannot stand beneath a tree, for a tree is a habitation in its own right, hence nullifying the purpose of the sukkah. So no tree houses, no tree forts. You got to get out. The list goes on, and the long and short of it is the Sukkot should remind us always of our frailty before God, our utter need and dependence on Him, and remind us that the Israelites lived in these makeshift places when they wandered the wilderness, and by God's grace they survived. Thus, on Sukkot, we put ourselves in the shoes of our ancestors, and we remember anew God's gracious provision for His people. This is a time of thanksgiving and joy. And let me end with this. John chapter 7. Jesus went to these places. Jesus was at the feasts, and Jesus even spoke at the Feast of Tabernacles during this time. And if you read the whole chapter, it talks about everybody's going to the feast, and Jesus said, I'm not going, it ain't my time yet. And they're like, come on, Jesus. He's like, no. Then he sneaks to the feast, then the Pharisees see him. They start questioning him. He's like, it's not my time yet. Disappears again. Then he comes back on the last day. That's the Drew version. So, that's funny. I just think that's hilarious. Jesus is creeping around. You know, all the Jews are there. Like, you got to come to this festival, right? You don't have to bring the women who are pregnant or the small children or the nursing, but everybody's supposed to come. In fact, a lot of what we call contribution, they did those things too, but you set aside money to return to Jerusalem with your family to build a tent, not under a tree, and, you know, look at the stars, hope it doesn't rain, all that stuff. John 7, verse 37. Now on the final and most important day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried in a loud voice, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continuous springs and rivers of living water. And he was sharing with them about the Spirit of God that each one of us get to have because of his great sacrifice. So long and short is, listen, these things are really involved. They can be really confusing, but God will give you wisdom through the Spirit, what you should do and what you shouldn't do. But his calendar supersedes the Gregorian calendar that all of us have on our phones, all of us have on our walls, all of us have on our desks. Pay attention to his calendar, because he said it will stand for all time. Amen? All right, back to Dwayne.
All right. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate him jumping in and helping me out a little bit. All right, so that's the brief and amazing version of the feast. And their importance, and they are. And y'all probably don't celebrate them, but you might want to just pay attention to them and look into them and let God speak to you through them, because he is trying to get our attention right now. All right. So, a time to advance. These are just some things that I pulled out of that book specifically that refer to this month. All right. There we go. All right. So it's more than any other month of the year. It's a month of God's appointed times. There's three feasts that from the very beginning of the month of Tishri begin to set. And because it's God's calendar, it just begins to set in motion things that should happen in our lives, right? And in the Jewish calendar, being the first month, that's how they start their year. A year, they begin their year repenting and surrendering to God and asking for his mercy in their lives. All right? And God wants us to recognize his redemptive plan for each month. It's not fortune telling. It's not horoscopes. It's not, you know, what sign are you? It's none of that kind of stuff. The heavens declare the redemptive plan of God. And we need to walk out his plan in the earth, all right? So, it's the month of reflected light, the light of the moon, which influences our environment. The moon influences our tides, our time. It influences our crops and our harvest times. And it's time for us as God's people to prepare ourselves to experience and reflect, all right? Experience and reflect the glory of God. It's great to experience it, but we are supposed to also reflect it, right? And that's what this month is a part of, all right? It's associated with the Hebrew letter. I'm going to say Lamed because lamed seems really bad. So Lamed, thank you, all right? And that letter signifies, again, it signifies repentance. What do you know? There's a theme going here, in case you were wondering, all right, this month. It's the aspiration to return to our absolute source, to regain what was scattered and to restore what has been lost. It's a month that's linked with arousal and awakening, signifying by the sound of the silver trumpets, to wake up and get ready for the visitation of God, the habitation of God. It's a month for self-evaluation, for repentance, and for sanctification, in an earnest expectation that when we've done all that we can, God will do what we can't. Amen? That's an awesome thing. Now, also in your bulletin, I think you should have one of these. All right? Drew was talking about it. The 10 days of awe. Okay? The 10 days of awe. And they're the days of repentance, the days of return. That's how they're referred to. All right? And again, I'm not going to go over what Drew said because he really laid it out very clearly. The first feast is also a part of the 10 days of awe. Begins with the Feast of Trumpets and ends on the Day of Atonement, okay? And Isaiah, he prophesies in chapter 55 of Isaiah. He's prophesying to Israel, seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked leave behind his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, for he will have compassion and mercy on him. And to our God, he will abundantly pardon. And he's referring, in this chapter, he's referring to the days of awe, a time period when God will be especially close to us. And isn't it a coincidence that it comes right after Elul? I don't think so. All right? We've just left. We're leaving a month where the king is in the field, where he is more available than ever before. And we're going to step into a time where he wants us to seek him, to return to him, to get an understanding, to remind ourselves of how much he loves us and to remind ourselves that he's paid the price for our sins. It's a time of repentance. It's a time of returning. It's a time when the gates of heaven are open and God will listen to our prayers. It's a time of earnestly seeking God in prayer and in fasting. It's an appointed time, all right, of introspection and repentance. And yeah, repentance, you think, oh, so this is the only week I have to repent. No. Repentance should be a daily thing, right? Because in Lamentations, that God's mercies are new every day. Take advantage of that every day. I do. Not going to lie. All right. But during the days of awe, God is really wanting us to focus on our lives and our lifestyle and how we live and how we perceive him. And really begin to just take the time to say, God, what am I doing that you want me to change? What is not a part of your kingdom for my life? What am I doing that's in the way of what you want to do and say? And again, it begins with the sound of the trumpets, the blowing of the shofars, and it concludes on the Day of Atonement, remembering the sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed for our sins. So these are appointed important days, and they are appointed days. That's why I started out with, you have an appointment. God said these are days that he has appointed, these feasts he has appointed for all time. It's a time of introspection, and it's a time of repentance. Isaiah 55, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. So we're setting aside these 10 days from September 21st to the 30th, okay? And in your bulletin, of course, there's that little flyer out on As you're going out, there's another flyer that Stephanie Steele put together. If you want to take it, you can. It's got some more information about what we're doing, but it's going to begin Thursday night, okay? This coming Thursday night, 7 o'clock, we're going to meet in the well. We'll meet each night in the well at 7 o'clock, except for Saturdays, the two Saturday times that are in this time. We'll have our regular times here. But this Thursday night, I really want to encourage you to be a part of all of these times. And we're going to, if you got a shofar, Thursday night's your big chance. Bring your shofar out, because we are going to blow the trumpets, man. We are going to sound the trumpets. So it's your big chance to blow your shofars, and we encourage you to do that. This Thursday night, we're sounding the alarm. It's the time to wake up and pay attention and seek the face of God. Some of the times, one of the nights, it might be that night or it might be a different night, but we're going to take the Bible and we're going to break it all down. And I think last year we had 130 people or something. We broke the whole Bible down, and in the course of about an hour or so, we read, everybody just took their little portion, read it out loud. So the entire Bible was released over our community and over our region. And we're going to do that again. What a powerful thing. Releasing the Word of God over our region, the entire Bible. It's going to be an awesome thing. So the other thing we're doing, we do this every month, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. How many of you actually do this every month? Because I'm not sure how many people do, but it's in the calendar, and we don't always beat you with a rubber hammer about this, but we're having a Hungry for God fast. And I think if there was ever a good time to fast and pray, it's a good time to fast and pray. So, again, those 3 days, 26th, 27th, 28th, we're calling the church to a solemn assembly. We're calling the church to a Hungry for God fast. And we're calling the church to seek God. We're going to, that Wednesday night, we're going to forego the Bible study class, and we're going to spend time praying. Each of those, beginning Thursday night, every night, 7 o'clock, we're going to pray. We're going to seek God. We're going to humble ourselves. And we're going to ask God to speak to us, change us. I need to be changed. I'm telling you. I need to just ask the people that I live with, the people I work with. They all know. All right? Listen, God has set this season in motion. And he has set these appointed times. And it's up to us to pay attention to them. All right? So let's all stand tonight. We've got an appointment. Let's not sleep through it or ignore it, okay? We do that plenty. But there are things happening in the heavenlies that ought to get our attention and ought to really cause us to be seeking God and crying out for more of him. I want more of God. I need more of God. So let's pray. God, we are so grateful that you saw fit to design creation in such a way that you speak to us in ways that we have really not even paid attention to. And so forgive us for that, God. But God, I just thank you, Father, for what you do in the heavens to speak to us. I thank you, God, for the seasons that you have designed for us to remind us of your goodness, to remind us of the cross, to remind us of the blood, to remind us of your provision, to remind us of who you are. You're such a wonderful Father. And God, I thank you, God, that you are awakening us afresh and anew. God, I ask that you would truly, truly awaken us to what you're doing. God, let us not sleep through or not be aware, God, of what you're saying, what you're speaking to the church. We want to be in the forefront of what you're doing. We want to be right smack dab in the middle of your perfect will, God. It's our cry. It's our desire. So, Father, we just are grateful for where you're stepping us into. And I pray, Father, as we step into this new month, I pray, God, as we step into what you have for us, would you truly awaken us? Would you truly cause us to desire you more than anything? Would you truly stir our hearts for more of you, God? And would you cause this month to be a fresh awakening in our lives, a fresh returning to you? Shine your light on our lives. Cause us to be a reflection of your glory, God. Stir our hearts as we step into this new month. We thank you for it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. That's all. That's all I got. God bless you guys. Have a good night.